The stories of the veterans of World War II. This fall, KSL accompanied dozens of these men and women to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. KSL News Radio's Mark Juke presents Honor Flight, A Generation's Journey.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington. The White House announces Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
It was the attack that propelled the United States into World War II.
First to feel the sting of Japanese steel are the USS Oklahoma and Utah.
And Emmett Cyclone Davis was there. Davis, who now lives in Highland, was a P-40 pilot based in Hawaii. The military had been on alert for days, but for some reason was not on Sunday, December 7th. Davis was sleeping in that morning when the attack began.
And I looked out the window and I saw a Japanese dive bomber, they're going down on the line. So I jumped out of bed and put my coveralls on and my flight suit.
He jumped into a friend's convertible and they sped toward the airfield.
And we got strafed by the Japanese as we drove down there.
At the airfield, they first taxied the unburned planes away from fires. Then they armed a P-40 and Davis got airborne. He flew three missions that day, one that nearly cost him his life.
We turned and flew across Pearl Harbor. Every gun they had down there started shooting at us. And so we got out of that mess and didn't lose anybody. But we went back and landed and told them they'd have to get the Navy under control if they wanted any escort.
Davis saw the destruction from the air.
They dropped all our bombs and sank three or four ships and a lot of smoke there. And we knew we was in a war.
Many of those on September 18th's honor flight had served in the Pacific and fought or supported forces on a costly three-year-long campaign toward Tokyo. Their visit to the memorial was an emotional one.
Ready, sober. I'm back lots of memories. I've always wanted to come here ever since it was built.
About a quarter of the stars at the World War II Memorial represent more than 100,000 lives lost in the Pacific Theater.
Here's a picture book.
On December 6, 1941, Earl Sorensen, Wallace Gatrell, and the rest of the 145th Field Artillery Battalion were on the Tasker H. Bliss headed to the Philippines. On December 7th, the ship turned around and was eventually sent to Hawaii.
We were the first Army troops from the mainland into Hawaii after December 7th,
yeah,
and we were really welcomed, I'll tell you that.
But the 145th didn't stay long.
We was on half the islands in the Pacific,
including Kwajalein, Guam and Saipan, the Philippines, and finally Okinawa, the last land fight in the war.
That lasted 3 months, day and night.
One of Sorensen's clearest memories was not fighting, though, but of a civilian, a woman discovered in what he described as a hole in the ground.
And she had a two-year-old boy with her.
At first, Sorensen says she was terrified. She calmed down when the soldiers took her to a civilian camp where she was given food and water.
I don't know how long she'd been in that hole, but she'd been in there a long time.
8 square miles of volcanic ash, now the target of a United States Marine attack.
Before Okinawa, it was Iwo Jima, initially seen by the U.S. as a strategic launching point. For the Japanese, though, the small island was their home soil. 6,800 Americans died on Iwo Jima. There were some 26,000 casualties. Art Hopkinson was on the USS Arkansas, a battleship used to bombard the island.
So we were trying to destroy every pillbox that the Japanese had. And that's how come we got so close. Close enough almost that we would be grounded if we'd have gotten any closer.
Cornelius DeYoung was there too on a transport boat assigned to the USS Barrow.
They lowered those LCVPs down into the water. The Marines crawled over the side on nets, got into them, and our job was to take them over and land them on the beach.
In spite of the bombardment, resistance was fierce.
We had to go up down the beach to find a place to land because they were shooting these mortar shells right down from off the top of the runway there, right into the boats and blowing them up.
DeYoung saw many of the casualties firsthand.
Every night we would go out to sea and bury the dead.
Both Hopkinson and DeYoung watched from sea on day 5 of the battle as 5 Marines and a Navy corpsman raised the American flag on Mount Suribachi.
The Marines were coming up. We could see that something was going on there, and so there they were, starting to push that flag up in the air. And it was a magnificent sight. Everybody, when we started hollering what was going on, everybody stopped to look to see.
I will say, here's you get an 18-year-old kid, just about 19-year-old, to see something that excites him enough that he'll cry.
The battle for the island continued for another month, resulting in more than 22,000 Japanese casualties. After Iwo Jima, the Navy guns moved on.
We went from there, from Iwo Jima, to Okinawa and bombarded Okinawa. Then we come back to this Bay of Japan, and we were already throwing big shells into the city, or into the shoreline, I should say. And then they drew us back, and the captain said, we're going to go over closer away from Japan.
That move surprised everyone.
We thought we were going to go in and just destroy everything. But, and we would have killed so many more because they didn't want to surrender. And so when they drew us back, the Captain Deweese got on the radio and said, we're going to have a movie. A movie? Yes. And so, but before we have this movie, I want to tell you something. Tomorrow, we're going to surprise Japan with a very small bomb. And it's going to end the war.
Hopkinson couldn't believe it.
And we just roared. We laughed. We thought, oh, how ridiculous. We were already dropping $1,000 or 1,000-pound bombs then. And so it was a shock, and it was a shock when it was over.
As Hopkinson's ship sat at sea, another Utah man was on his way to the island of Tinian, where the Enola Gay was based. H. Blaine Hall had just completed training as a radio operator on a B-29. In San Francisco, he and his crew learned of the bombing of Hiroshima.
One of the guys got up and come back with a newspaper announcing the dropping of the bomb. And there's a big picture. I thought, wow, what a thing.
But the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki did not immediately stop preparations to invade Japan. Hall and his crew were soon on their way in their B-29. They learned over the radio days later that Japan had surrendered. This past summer, Hall's family arranged a flight on Fifi, a restored B-29. They brought along with them that day a photo of the Enola Gay sitting on the tarmac on Tinian.
The Japanese have accepted our terms fully.
On August 29, 1945, the Navy's Third Fleet sailed into Tokyo Bay. The USS Roy, with Kurt Christensen on board, was part of the massive group.
And I can see ships everywhere. As far as you could see, ships.
3 days later, Admiral William Halsey was on the USS Missouri to accept Japan's surrender.
Then he said, this is the largest collection this world has ever known. See all this sea power in one group. This will never, ever happen again. He repeated 3 different times, look, see, and remember.
Christensen had another experience at sea, one that finally he got a chance to tell KSL's Doug Wright about 7 decades later.
I was on duty as a radar operator on board ship at that particular day, and I had it all figured out that back home in Salt Lake City was the time for the Tabernacle Choir broadcast.
He wasn't sure he could get it.
I picked one that had the AM band on it, and I just fooled around, see if I could find anything. Then the Tabernacle Choir came on.
Again we pause at the crossroads of the West as Columbia presents...
That was home.
On this day of rest and reverence,
I loved it.
Leaving the World War II Memorial, the Veterans of Honor flight spent time on the Mall, visiting the Korean and Vietnam, as well as the Lincoln memorials. As in many other honor flights, there were veterans in the group who served in World War II and Korea. Coming up, a visit to Arlington, remembering FDR, and an emotional return as Honor Flight, A Generation's Journey, continues.